Here's Mountain Edition.
Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 89 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Cody Robinson.
Underage drinking will not be tolerated in tailgate events.
A UK student accused of killing a four-year-old child has admitted to drinking and driving.
The Moorhead State softball team is hosting a fundraiser for the family of Bryce Combs.
Two people were arrested in an undercover drug operation in Olive Hill yesterday.
Results of a new study say Kentucky is one of the least diverse states in the nation.
A medical service provider has made a proposal to Rowan County Fiscal Court.
In sports, both Rowan County soccer teams are in action on the road tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
A 10% chance of showers tonight, but mostly clear skies with a low around 66. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
A charity event to benefit the family of Bryce Combs is taking place at Moorhead State University this evening. The MSU softball team and other student organizations are hosting a home run derby at the university softball field. Anyone can enter the derby at $5 for 10 pitches. The event will also feature free food and live music. The event begins at 5:30 and all money raised will go to the Combs family.
The 18-year-old University of Kentucky student who hit and killed a 4-year-old boy with his truck tells the cops he only had 2 beers hours before the accident. According to WKYT, police say when Jacob Heil collided with 4-year-old Markel Shimwell after the football tailgate last weekend, his blood alcohol content was .051. Heil is now suspended from the university. His fraternity, Alpha Tau Omega, is also suspended for allegedly forcing minors to drink and sell alcohol at the tailgate. UK spokesperson Jay Blanton says the university has certain expectations for behavior.
We know that the vast majority of students live up to those expectations all the time, but it was important to reinforce our expectation that our students will follow the law, particularly with respect to what is legal drinking and what is not.
Heil's arrest citation reported he had a strong odor of alcoholic beverages, bloodshot eyes, and he showed signs of impairment on the sobriety test. He pleaded not guilty in Fayette County Court today.
A Fayette County judge has granted shock probation to 4 men who were convicted in a drug-related kidnapping and assault case last year. The men were convicted in a drug trafficking scheme targeting university students in Lexington. John Cooper, Zachary Costin, Andrew Ward, and Ethan Hatfield were accused of holding an alleged drug trafficker against his will and assaulting the man. According to LEX 18, Fayette County Circuit Court Judge Thomas Travis gave all 4 men shock probation today, which is usually granted in hopes that the initial shock of prison will be enough to discourage them from further crimes.
2 people were arrested yesterday in Olive Hill as a result of an undercover drug operation. Detectives with Fade Drug Task Force, the Olive Hill Police Department, and the Carter County Sheriff's Office executed a search warrant at a home in the Mills Branch area of Olive Hill. Jeff Gilbert and Kosha Wagner were arrested at the scene. Gilbert is charged with fleeing and evading warrants, and Wagner is charged with failure to appear in court.
Multiple fire department crews fought a house fire last night in Grayson. According to WSAZ, the house was located on East 2nd Street. The fire started around 7 p.m. and no injuries were reported. The cause of the blaze is still unknown. Crews from Grayson, Hitchens, Norton Branch, and Olive Hill helped fight in that fire.
A Johnson County man tried to escape custody twice after being arrested on theft charges. According to WYMT, Jamie Lee Mullins was arrested yesterday after returning to a local business where a surveillance video showed him stealing from the property. Deputies approached Mullins' vehicle before he began to drive away, giving way to a chase. Johnson County Sheriff Dwayne Price says the chase ended after Mullins crashed his vehicle.
Jamie Lee Mullins had already ran through a guardrail, run his car over the creek, overturned, and got some substantial injuries. It took several staples, forehead, and then his leg.
Mullins attempted to flee again after arriving at the jail before he fell, allowing deputies to obtain him. Mullins is being held in the Big Sandy Regional Detention Center with no bond. He faces several felony charges, including theft, running from the police, wanton endangerment, and escape.
The Kentucky Office of Homeland Security has announced nearly $3 million in grants to communities around the state. An agency statement says 50 recipients in 36 counties will receive funding under Kentucky's 2018 Homeland Security Grant Program. The grants will go toward purchasing law enforcement, fire, and emergency service equipment to counter threats of terrorism. Homeland Security Executive Director John Holliday says a major focus this year was increasing resources to deter, respond to, and mitigate potential complex coordinated attacks. He said many projects awarded funding have been broad anti-terrorism impacts. Holliday said the agency reviewed 269 applications requesting $17 million and allocated funding based on need and the greatest public safety impact. Agencies in several counties in the WMKY listening region made the list, including Boyd, Elliott, Fleming, McGoffin, Martin, Johnson, and Lawrence counties.
Kentucky was ranked among the least diverse states in the nation, according to a new report. The list, composed by personal finance website WalletHub, puts Kentucky 45th in the nation in terms of diversity. Analyst Jill Gonzalez says the report doesn't focus entirely on cultural diversity.
We looked at diversity in a lot of different ways. So obviously cultural diversity, which is, I think, what most people think of when they hear the word. But we also looked into socioeconomic, household, religious, and political diversity.
California claims the title as the most diverse state, while West Virginia was found to be the least diverse in the country.
The newest version of the hate map has been released for Kentucky. WMKY's Chanasty Davis has the story.
Each year, the Southern Poverty Law Center updates their hate map, an interactive project to spread awareness of hate groups around the United States, including Kentucky. According to LEX18, there are at least 11 active hate groups in the state this year. That is a decrease from last year's map, which contained 23 separate hate groups, including one in Moorhead. That organization is no longer included on the map. The SPLC says all groups have beliefs or practices that attack or misrepresent one or more groups of people. Information on the individual hate groups in Kentucky can be found online at splcenter.org. For WMKY News, I'm Chanasty Davis.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop, a community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
A medical service provider has proposed an agreement with Rowan County. PHI transports more than 30,000 patients each year, operating out of more than 65 bases across the United States. The Moorhead branch has offered to partner with the county. Judge Executive Walter Blevins says it could be good for county residents.
It's a membership fee of $5 per household. There's 8,473 households in Round County. And the check for all Round County citizens, children all the way, whatever age, is $42,365.
The program for Rowan County would cost around $42,000 if passed.
The Ashland Board of City Commissioners authorized $818,000 in payments to a hotel developer during last Thursday's meeting. WMKY's Brian Courtney has the story.
The money was paid to WB Hospitality LLC as reimbursement for construction used to convert the Ashland Plaza Hotel into a Marriott. The Daily Independent reports the payments came from tax increment financing bonds and not the city's general funds. The payment is one of many to a $4.6 million incentive package to fund the project. The city and the Boyd County Fiscal Court also created a TIF district in downtown Ashland to assist funding. It's anticipated the district will increase city and county tax revenues for 20 years, which would help pay off the bond. The city also captured increases in state tax revenues from an overlapping TIF agreement with the state. The hotel is expected to be finished by this year's end. For WMKY News, I'm Brian Courtney.
Some members of Kentucky's Board of Elections are regretting a decision they made. The board's executive director, Jared Deering, made complaints last month regarding the Secretary of State's possible misuse of the Commonwealth's voter database. The board voted unanimously to reaffirm Allison Lundergan Grimes' role on the board, but some of the board members spoke against that decision at its meeting yesterday. Tensions ran high when Grimes gave Deering a minute to speak on the matter. Spectrum News was there.
I have evidence here of Lindsay Thurston going in and looking at documents for our employees, for our board members.
Executive Director Deering, I'm going to cut you off. That information is at the request of our board council that has requested that. And I'm going to cut you off because you're very... Executive Director Deering, I'm going to cut you off and I'm going to ask you to leave.
Commission members?
Executive Director Deering.
They've gone into the voter registration database.
Executive Director Deering, I'm going to ask that you leave the room.
The State Board of Personnel has voted to open an investigation into whether or not the state's voter database was misused by Grimes' office.
Kentucky's senior senator is working behind the scenes to keep Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh's nomination on course as the Trump pick faces scrutiny over allegations of sexual assault. With only weeks to go before midterm elections and all eyes on Kavanaugh, Politico reports Senator Mitch McConnell is taking a softer approach as he works to keep the nomination process moving forward. With little room for Republican dissent in the Senate, the majority leader is engaging in a balancing act, attacking Democrats for the 11th hour reveal of the accusations by Christine Ford, while being sensitive to new questions about the nominee's past. McConnell said both sides will get a chance to speak next week under oath.
Dr. Ford will be heard. And of course, Judge Kavanaugh will have the opportunity to defend himself against this accusation.
The senator held a nearly two-hour marathon meeting Monday with Senate Judiciary Committee Republicans on how to proceed. McConnell famously blocked President Obama's Supreme Court nominee and changed Senate rules to do away with filibusters on Supreme Court nominees to confirm Neil Gorsuch. He said his goal is to confirm Kavanaugh by October the 1st.
Taking a look at your extended weather forecast for the WMKY listening area. Tonight, a 10% chance of showers before 7 p.m., mostly clear with a low around 66. Tomorrow, it'll be sunny with a high near 88, and tomorrow night, mostly clear with a low around 68 degrees. Friday, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 2 p.m., mostly sunny with a high near 87. And Friday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a low around 64 and a 50% chance of precipitation. Current temperatures in the listening area are 88 degrees in Flemingsburg, 89 degrees in Maysville, 90 degrees in Ashland, 88 degrees in Grayson, 88 degrees in Inez, 88 degrees in Mount Sterling, 86 degrees in Lexington, and 89 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
On our feature segment today, WMKY's Chaz Jenkins brings us a piece about Morehead State Public Radio's former news director, who is very busy enjoying retirement.
With 30 years of radio experience under his belt, Chuck Moraz has recently retired from working as news director for Morehead State Public Radio. Upon reflection, Moraz says he never will be satisfied.
There are things I like that I did, but there's always something I feel like I could have done better. The one thing I am satisfied with is the amount of effort I put into the things I did do, that I gave the very best I had. Some days that was better than others, but I always tried as hard as I could to do the best work that I possibly could do.
Moraz says during his career he did thousands of interviews, but only one stood out among the rest. Former NFL player Tim Green.
Several years ago, I had a chance to talk to him about a novel that he wrote. It was kind of a spy-type novel. It was really a good book. I read the book, and actually he was impressed with that because afterwards he said, I can tell you read the book because you had some really good questions. And he said, a lot of people don't read my books, and they ask me just basic questions. So I was pretty proud of that, and I enjoyed talking to him. And there are a lot of people that I've enjoyed talking with over the years, but that one kind of sticks out in my mind.
Moraz says his favorite memory in broadcasting was when Morehead State beat Louisville in the NCAA tournament in 2011.
There's Hill for 17. No. Corita rebound. They'll straighten it back out. Off the left side. Hill for three. Yes! New career high. 23 points for Terrence Hill. And the Eagles have the lead.
It's a moment that will always stick out in my mind. It's kind of frozen in time, in the back of my head, but I'll always relive that and enjoy it every single time I think about it.
Working at the university was a challenge, but for Chuck Moraz, it made the job that much more fun.
Whether it was a story issue, a student issue, or something like that, I come from a family that are basically made up of cops and teachers, and the teacher side of me enjoyed the ability to sit down with young people and watch them develop, teach them things that would help them develop into, if they wanted to become broadcasters, become broadcasters.
For Chuck Moraz, he still had one major regret in his long life of broadcasting, never getting to interview a president of the United States. He says he's only had one opportunity to do so.
The closest I ever came was back in 1997. Former President Jimmy Carter was here for his Habitat for Humanity project called Hammering in the Hills, and they built some homes in West Moorhead. And he was delivering a speech, and I was probably about 15 feet away, and I was actually holding up a microphone to the speaker off the end of the stage. And that was the closest I've ever come to interviewing a president.
Moraz says the biggest thing he'll miss will be the people.
It was a stressful job. There was a lot of pressure every single day, a lot of stress, especially when we got into sports season, because I was actually carrying two jobs. When you talk about the football and basketball play-by-play, that's an extra 15 to 20 hours a week on top of what I did here at the radio station. But I miss being around the young people, the students. I miss being around the staff members because they were my friends. I missed a lot of the people I used to call as interview sources because we became friends. So that's what I'm going to miss the most, is that camaraderie and that friendship.
Moraz isn't sure what the future will hold for him in this new chapter of his life. However, he is proud of the work he's been able to accomplish with his time at MSU.
That's WMKY's Chaz Jenkins. It's 447 and 89 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Cody Robinson, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this Wednesday afternoon. Tilden Johnson has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. The center offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Rowan County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers and fax machines, DVDs, CDs, phones, videotapes and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
It's going to be soccer Viking action tonight. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson. The Viking boys head to Bath County tonight for a 6 p.m. matchup. Rowan is ranked first in the region with a 13-1 record. Coach Max Hammond says his team is ready for a tough competition.
Chris Ruscio of Bath County, the head coach over there, really knows what he's doing. So, you know, I always expect a game from them, and expect the boys to come out and be fired up to play. You know, they always want to try to take us down, and, you know, I expect it to be a decent game.
Bath County is 6-3 on their season, coming off a 2-0 win over Greenup on Saturday. In other boys' soccer regional action tonight, Morgan County hosts Johnson Central at 6:45. The 6-4 Rowan girls soccer Vikings are traveling to Fleming County tonight for a 7:30 matchup. Fleming County is currently 7-2-1 on the year. The Moorhead State Soccer Eagles are looking to continue their berth of good luck on the road Friday when they travel to Nashville to take on Belmont. The Eagles are coming fresh off a last-second end-of-the-line 1-0 win over SIU Edwardsville when Danny Wilson scored on a penalty kick with just under a minute left to play. Head coach Warren Lipka says that this win taught his Eagles the importance of every minute of a matchup.
You know, you hear it in training, hey, there's 10 seconds left, there's 30 minutes, or 2 minutes left in this game. They understand the importance of every second now. And we just need to build on that. We need to build. We had a good game. They had their chances. We had our chances. I thought Ava played really well. But I think it just kind of – it was the monkey off the back a little bit after all those close games. And hopefully, like I said, we want to try to build from that.
The Eagles start play in Tennessee Friday evening at 7:30. The Rowan County Volleyball Vikings will take on Fleming County tomorrow evening at 8 on the Viking home court. The Vikings are currently 17-7 on the year and are on a 3-game winning streak. Second-ranked Rowan will be taking on a Fleming County team that is 7-11 so far this season. The Bengals are down to Giovanni Bernard as their only experienced running back who knows their offense. Joe Mixon had surgery to remove a torn knee cartilage and will be out for a few games, leaving the Bengals with Bernard and Trey Carson as their experienced running backs at Carolina on Sunday. Carson got hurt in practice on Monday and was waived today. The Bengals signed former Seattle running back Thomas Rawls, who was with the Jets in the preseason and was released in their final cuts. They also have rookie Mark Walton, a fourth-round pick. Center Billy Price and defensive end Michael Johnson are also recovering from injuries during a 34-23 win over the Ravens on Thursday night. The University of Central Florida football player has been arrested on sexual battery charge. Campus police arrested 18-year-old Demetrius Mays on Tuesday in Orlando. He's a freshman linebacker for the UCF Knights. And South Carolina trustees have approved a $21 million worth of improvements for Williams-Brice Stadium scheduled for completion before the 2020 season. Most of the renovations are in areas given up by the football program after their move to the program's new $50 million football operations building after this season. The Jacksonville Jaguars expect running back Leonard Fournette to return to practice today, a step toward playing against AFC South rival Tennessee. The Minnesota Vikings have signed defensive tackle Tom Johnson, bringing back one of their starters last season for more depth up front. And Denver Broncos quarterback Case Keenum is sitting out of practice with a sore knee. The Broncos characterized the injury as minor and said he'll return to practice on Thursday. The Cincinnati Reds will wrap up their series in Milwaukee this evening. The Reds got the win last night, 3-1 after dropping the first contest 8-0 on Monday. Jose Peraza hit a two-run homer during last night's contest, which manager Jim Riggleman tells Fox Sports Ohio is a sign of continued improvement.
Well, you know, like we said, he's getting stronger. You know, he's really becoming a strong man that in the future probably be a 20 home run guy, you know, but he's just doing a nice job for us, period.
Game time this evening is 7:40. Also from the majors, Yankee closer Aroldis Chapman has been activated from the disabled list. New York announced the move today before the second game of a three-game series against the AL East leading Boston Red Sox. Chapman has been out since August 21st with a left knee tendonitis. The All-Star left-hander threw a simulated game Monday and said yesterday that he had recovered well. He will be available out of the bullpen tonight. New York is trying to prevent Boston from clinching the division at Yankee Stadium for the second time in 3 years. The Red Sox can clinch with one victory. The hard-throwing Chapman has 31 saves and a 2.11 ERA in 50 appearances this season. And lastly in sports, the Morehead State women's golf team finished up play at the MSU Greenbrier Invitational yesterday. WMKY's Tanner Boyd has more.
For the third time this season, Morehead State women's golfers Gypsy Hutchinson and Bridget Connolly claimed top 10 honors. Hutchinson, a junior, and Connolly, a redshirt sophomore, finished tied for 5th and tied for 10th, respectively, at the MSU Greenbrier Invitational. Hutchinson's finish marks her second top 5 finish of the season, having won Morehead State's previous individual event at Eagle Trace Golf Course. Connolly finished strong on Tuesday, hitting 17 of 18 greens in the final round. The Eagles return to the course in 2 weeks, competing at the F&M Bank APSU Intercollegiate. The event tees off on October 1st at the Clarksville Country Club in Clarksville, Tennessee. For WMKY Sports, I'm Tanner Boyd.
And that's going to do it for sports for today. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Volleyball hosts Jacksonville State at 7 p.m. on Friday and Tennessee Tech at 2 p.m. on Saturday. Football's next home game is Saturday, October 6th, hosting San Diego. More information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks rose as bank shares got a lift from higher interest rates. Sentiment on Wall Street was also boosted as investors bet that a trade war between the U.S. and China will not be as bad as previously feared. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 158.80 at 26,405.76. The S&P 500 was up 3.64 at 2907.95. Overall market performance was held back by the tech sector, with the NASDAQ down 6.07 at 7950.04. And, of course, the NASDAQ was weighed down by weakness in Amazon, Netflix, and Apple, which all three fell today. Bank shares, as mentioned, rose today, with the 10-year Treasury note yield rising to 3.09%, its highest level since May. Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, and Bank of America all rose nearly 3%. Shares of J.P. Morgan and Citigroup advanced 3.3% each. And, of course, the feeling is that higher interest rates will help banks out with their the spread on their loans that they make. Boeing shares rose 0.5%, while Caterpillar climbed 2.5%. Both companies are seen as bellwethers for global trade, given their large exposure to overseas markets, as investors today, in looking at the tariff announcements, decided that they were not as bad as had been anticipated in certain corners. China's announcement today on tariffs earmarked goods coming from the United States having a 10% tariff after it had previously been announced it could be 20%, and so the market expressing some relief at the lower tariff rate from China. Goldman Sachs shares rose almost 3% as the company lines up rival banks to take stakes in Simon, his three-year-old app devoted to selling complex investment products. And Netflix actually dropped 0.2%, even as analysts at Guggenheim hiked their price target on the stock to $420 a share from $360, saying that Netflix subscriber penetration will significantly exceed expectations. In the commodities markets, oil was up 1.8% at $71.10 a barrel. Gold was up 0.5% at $1,208.40 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were fairly strong today, with the Stock 600 index up 0.3%. And in Asia, stocks were actually very strong, with the Nikkei up 1.1% and the Shanghai Composite up 1.8%. In among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan, and the worst performers were Verizon and Microsoft. In the S&P 500, the best performers were BorgWarner and Newfield Exploration, while the worst performers were Copart and HollyFrontier. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 46 cents at 85 and a quarter, CSX down 12 cents at 73.99, Marathon Petroleum down $3.44 at 80.53, AK Steel up 11 cents at 4.79, AEP down $1.44 at 70.99, and Fifth Third Bank was up 67 cents to finish at 29.52. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. Basketball and racquetball courts, weight and exercise equipment, indoor walking track and swimming pool. Outdoor Adventures offers a bouldering wall, camping and hiking equipment, kayaks and paddle boards for Eagle Lake. Towel service and group fitness classes included with all memberships. Day passes and community memberships now available for fall. Bowling lanes open Monday through Saturday, 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. in the Laughlin Building. More information at 783-2083.
Taking a look at some events coming up in our region, Saving the Animals of Rowan County is hosting a fish fry and silent auction from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Friday, September 21st. The event will be held in the Carl Perkins Community Center in Moorhead. Community is welcome. Proceeds will benefit the STAR organization.
The Gateway Regional Arts Center in Mount Sterling will host a Woodsongs Coffeehouse concert at 7 p.m. on Thursday, September 27th, featuring singer and songwriter Sean Whiting. Tickets are $8 for adults and $5 for students.
The Rowan County Public Library will host a band book bash at 5 p.m. on Thursday, September 27th. All ages are welcome to attend and share their favorite band book. Free popcorn and refreshments will be available.
St. Clair Family Medical Supply, located in the Kroger Shopping Center in Moorhead, will host a customer appreciation celebration event from noon to 6 p.m. on Friday, September 28th. The public is invited for free food, refreshments, and door prizes.
The Gateway Regional Arts Center in Mount Sterling will host an international spotlight dinner celebrating the food, fashion, music, art, and literature of India on Saturday, September 29th. Dinner begins at 6 and tickets are $25. And that's going to do it today for Mountain Edition. We had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Kenzie Thompson, Logan Pemberton, Chanasty Davis, Shamari Mosley, Brian Courtney, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, and Tilden Johnson. WUKY's Josh James, Hilliard Lions' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Chaz Jenkins. This is Morehead State Public Radio. WMKY Morehead and translator W202BH9S. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Cody Robinson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.